Last Word on Today FM.
Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent, is with us for our weekly money spot. And tell us, it's bad news on a day of beautiful, glorious sunshine. But tell us what's happening this week with carbon taxes.
Well, from tomorrow, Matt, the carbon tax increases, the latest of them that were announced in the budget last October, they're going up tomorrow. We're talking here about your home heating oil, your natural gas, your town gas, briquettes, they're all coal as well. The carbon tax element of those is all going up. This will add around 17 euros a year to your typical use for gas. So that'll take the carbon tax element of an annual gas bill to about 138 euros for a 900 litre fill of home heating oil. We're talking here about 17 euros. It's about 19 euros, Matt, which means about 160 euros in carbon tax over a year will be paid on your home heating oil. Now, the good thing there is home heating oil prices are coming down because crude oil prices are falling. So every time I look there, those prices are down. Already, petrol and diesel, the carbon tax element of that would have gone through soon after the budget, about a week after the budget. About 17 cents of what you pay at the pumps for a litre is made up of carbon tax.
The separate to the other taxes,
the VAT, the excise duty, the NORA levy, and there's the biofuel mix thing. There's a whole host of different things on your petrol and diesel, which the government taking more than half of the cost of a litre. So look, at the carbon tax is quite controversial. I think a lot of people don't like it, Matt, and I think they have reason. And I'm not just being anti-environmental here. Now The Climate Change Advisory Council is reported today complaining about the building of data centres and the way that energy users, the household energy users, are being treated by energy companies. So, throwing carbon
tax... What's that got to do with data centres?
Well, the whole idea of the carbon tax is to kind of transition us away from carbon dioxide emissions, part of Ireland's strategy to support greener and cleaner environment. And yet we're building data centres, huge numbers of them, which are having a massive drain on the energy infrastructure, the electricity infrastructure. That doesn't square. It just doesn't square with trying to reduce carbon emissions if you're going to be building so many data centres. And these are intensive users of energy. And, to such an extent that we struggle to supply sufficient electricity to feed them.
Okay, but if we don't build them in Ireland, they'll just be built somewhere else and they'll do exactly the same damage to the climate and the environment. In fact, they might do more because the Irish climate is better suited to data centres than other locations.
Well, Iceland, I would argue that Iceland is pretty well suited to them, and they have geothermal there. They have all sorts of natural ways of generating electricity without using oil and gas. And remember, half of what the electricity we use in this country is imported, most of it imported gas. In the likes of Iceland, you have geysers, you have hydro, they have naturally hot water coming out of the ground.
So you want the world's data centres there instead?
We shouldn't be taking so many of them in. I would question why we're taking so many of them in.
But isn't it because we need data storage, that you will not have the cloud for all of the things that we enjoy in the cloud if you don't have these data centres?
Europe needs data centres. We don't need to have so many of them here, I would argue. The other issue people have with carbon tax, and I think it's a legitimate concern, is fine if you can afford to put in solar panels, if you can afford to put in a smart meter, if you can afford an EV, an electric vehicle, and you can carry out lots of energy efficiency upgrades to your home, that's fine. You're going to use an awful lot less carbon because you're using less energy. If you're in a small old house in the west of Ireland, just say the west of Ireland, because I know the west of Ireland, and you're using home heating oil, you're driving a diesel car, you don't have EVs, an EV, you don't have solar panels, you throw the odd few peat briquettes on the fire over winter, you're being hit hard by this. So I think it's quite regressive the way it is. It's not progressive in any way. This is why people deeply resent the carbon tax. And if you see Mark Carney being elected in Canada, one of the things he's doing is getting rid of carbon tax. Now, I'm not saying we should do that. It's too radical. But we really should find a way that this doesn't punish people who are poorer and particularly rural-based. And we could do an awful lot more studies on this as well, the impact of this. All very well if you're wealthy and live in South Dublin, come forward an EV and solar panels, but not so good if you're not. able to afford those things.
Listener, you have a support who says Charlie's absolutely right, only the rich can afford to be energy efficient. Another listener says the carbon tax money is ring fenced for SEAI grants.
It is, Matt, that's absolutely true. That's what the money is supposed to do.
And that's over €1 billion going to be brought in this year in carbon taxes.
Oh, it's at a record level. It's doubled in the last 5 years. About €1 billion is going to be brought in this year. Now, I asked the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland how many people have upgraded their homes, and they say about 280,000 homes were upgraded in the last 10 years, Matt, and grants of about €1.2 billion were provided.
Sorry, yeah. Over 10 years?
That's over 10 years.
So if they're bringing in €1 billion in carbon taxes this year, it's not going to be spent in SEAI grants, so where does the rest of that money go?
No, it doesn't, and this is what I'm saying, Matt. I think there should be a re-examination of this whole carbon tax, the amount of money that's been generated, how it's been generated and how it's been used. Could we, you know, yes, there's subsidies and you can borrow at a decent, for example, you get a very favourable rate for a green loan at a credit union in particular, but any of the banks on post, etc., to upgrade your home. But not everybody can afford to do that. I think we need more, you know, do it the way the French do. They would provide, they structure these things in a way that poorer people are given a better shot at it.
A listener says, I recently got a quote to externally wrap a bungalow in the west of Ireland. The quote was €34,000. That would buy a lot of oil. That is simply not feasible, said this listener. We're getting quite a lot of examples. Window grant came out of the price of solar panels, went up by the price of the grant. But then you also have a story that high energy ratings add significantly to the value of second-hand homes. That an investment in energy rating can add how much to them?
Well, Matt, yeah, over €100,000, €105,000. This is some information that was pulled from the property price register by a Dublin-based data company, GeoWox, and they found that there's a premium for a home with a high energy rating. I mean, we are only talking second-hand homes here. They filtered out the new ones. So a premium of €105,000 for a home that's got a building energy rating of A or B or any one of those, A1, A2, B2 or whatever, they're selling for about €445,000 compared with about €340,000 for a second-hand home, which needs an upgrade to bring it up to a decent level of energy efficiency. So if you can spend the money, you know, you're going to get it back. I mean, it will take time, but particularly if you're planning to sell and you're going to do an upgrade, you will get that money back. So, you know, definitely it's an investment worth doing, but can you afford to do it? And it takes a long time to get the payback. Now, there's no VAT on, for example, solar panels at the moment, but it does take a couple of years to get the money back on those in terms of your electricity bill.
Okay. Listen, it says, interesting that Tony Blair, the former British Prime Minister, reckons net zero is not going to work and said the UK government should reconsider as people will end up paying for it. I wonder, will the Irish government take another look at it? That is something I plan to talk to John Gibbons about in tomorrow's environment slot, the comments that Tony Blair has made, which are getting a lot of attention in Britain today. Just one other thing I want to ask you about, and this is the number of motorists driving without insurance. This is a good news story. Seems to be dropping considerably, Charlie.
Way down, Matt, way down. In percentage terms, halved the number of the last 2 years, the number of private motor vehicles out there with no insurance on the road. And it's down to one thing and one thing only. It's the fact that the Gardaí can now use these handheld devices and tell immediately whether the car in front of them that they've just stopped has a valid insurance or not. Because, you know, the old trick was, You paid for insurance in installments, you paid one installment, you got an insurance disc, you stuck it on the car. When the Garda stopped you, it looked like you were insured, only you're not because you stopped paying it. Now there's a new database that's been around for a while, the Irish Motor Insurance Database, and the Garda can tap into that and see immediately whether you have a valid up-to-date insurance. All of a sudden, 86,000 cars that had no insurance are now insured. So the number of uninsured vehicles is down by 86,000, Matt, and that is huge.
Charlie Weston, Personal Finance Editor of the Irish Independent, thank you very much. The Last Word on Today FM.